This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين أسماء الله الحسنى the most beautiful, the most perfect, the most excellent names of Allah the Exalted. Insha'Allah, today we will begin with the names Al-Malik, Al-Malik, and Al-Malik. These are three names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that come from the same root, which is the root of Mim Lam Kaf from the word Mulk. And Mulk, we learn that Mulk means ownership. So Al-Malik is the king, Al-Malik is also the king or the owner, and Al-Malik is the supreme owner or the supreme sovereign. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقُّ. So exalted is Allah, the sovereign, the truth. There is no deity except Him, Lord of the noble throne. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only Al-Malik al-Haqq. He is the only true, real, actual, absolute King and Sovereign, meaning all sovereignty belongs exclusively to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why we see that there isn't just one name of Allah from this word, but there is multiple names of Allah. And we see that they occur many times in the Quran. So for example, the name Malik appears five times in the Quran. The name Malik appears two times, and the name Malik appears once in the Quran. And basically, the word Mulk, it means sovereignty or ruling power. And it also means exclusive ownership. And it also means to have the power to exercise one's authority and command. So when we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Malik, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the king. He is the one who has absolute sovereignty and ruling power. When we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Malik, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner who has exclusive ownership of the entire creation. And when we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Malik, then there is hyperbole over here, which means that He is the supreme sovereign who has exclusive ownership of everything, and He also has the power to exercise His authority and His command. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Malikul Mulk. He is the owner of sovereignty. He is the King of kings. He is the true king who has the sovereignty of the heavens and the earth, of this world and the hereafter, of all creatures that exist. This is why when we talk about the kingdom or the authority or the ownership of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we use the word malakut also, because malakut means absolute or complete ownership, and that belongs exclusively to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ نُرِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The malakut, meaning the complete ownership of the skies and the earth, this is something that belongs only to Allah azza wa jal. So remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sovereignty, His ownership, His authority are absolutely perfect and permanent. And they are in the absolute sense, meaning people also own different things. People also have power over certain things, but our power, our ownership is not absolute. Our ownership is not perfect. Our ownership is not permanent. It is only temporary. It is only over certain aspects, not over everything. And our control over things is also minimal. It is not absolute. So this is why we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that لا مالك إلا الله. There is no Malik, no owner, except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning He is the only one whose sovereignty, whose ownership is perfect and absolute and permanent. And then we see that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-malik, 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 this means that He is the one who gives ownership, He is the one who gives authority to people, and He is the one who can also take it away whenever it is that He wants. And this is why we're taught in the Quran that Allahumma malik al-mulk tu'ti al-mulka man tasha wa tanzi'u al-mulka mimman tasha. That say, O Allah, owner of sovereignty, You give sovereignty to whom You will, and You take sovereignty away from whom You will. Meaning He is the one who gives power, and He is the one who takes it away. He is the one who gives honor, and He is the one who also gives humility to whomsoever that He wants. بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ, in Your hand is all good. Indeed, You are over all things competent. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-malik, 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 then what does that mean for us? This means that first of all, we should remember that there is no king, no sovereign except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person believes in this, then he is at peace. Why? Because then you're no longer afraid of the creation. You're no longer afraid that, you know, they might harm you, because you know that all power and all control is with who? It is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you ihfazillaha yahfazka, that you guard your duty to Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guard and protect you. And you guard your duty to Allah, and you will find Allah before you. When you beg, then beg only Allah. And when you seek help, then seek help from only Allah. And you should know that if the entire nation were to gather together to benefit you with something, they would not be able to benefit you except with something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already written for you. And if they all gather together to harm you with something, again, they would not be able to harm you with anything except with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already written for you. So when you realize and you remember that all power, all ownership, all sovereignty is in the hand of Allah, it is with Allah, then you will not be afraid of the creation. Then you will not despair. You will not give up. And then you will also bring your needs before Allah. You will not feel shy of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no matter what need you have, big or small, worldly or religious, you know, in your family or in your deen, whatever it may be, you will bring it before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will beg Him for help. So remember that la malika illallah, there is no king except Allah, meaning all kingship, all authority is with Allah. And this means that if any person has any power or authority also, then we learn in the Quran that wallahu yu'ti mulkahu man yasha, that Allah is the one who gives His mulk, meaning kingdom or power or authority, to whomsoever that He wants. So don't be afraid of people who have power, people who have money, people who have authority. No, be afraid of the one who has given that power, that money, that authority to them. So remember and realize that all power, all sovereignty is with who? It is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember that when it comes to the mulk of Allah, meaning when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns something, then this is, you know, his personal quality, all right? And what that means is that, you know, for example, when creation, when people, we have, you know, some power, authority, it is only with certain means. It is only with certain, you know, tools that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, meaning we are dependent on them in order to have that power or authority. So for example, if you have power over a computer, right, it is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the ability to purchase it, right, and to use it. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, He can take those means away from you. Meaning, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away electricity from you, right, or the internet away from you, then, or your hands away from you, then what good would be your power and your authority? You wouldn't be able to use it. And then we see that no matter what we have, we only have it temporarily. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has whatever He has forever and for always. And this also means that, you know, we should not be proud of whatever that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Because If we have something, it is because Allah gave it to us. So we should rely more on what is with Allah than what is with us. Because what we have is only with us because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled that, right? And it's only with us temporarily. And we can only benefit from it as much as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows. So don't rely on what is in your hand. Rely on what is with Allah. And never be proud of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. This is what Iblis did, right? أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ, that I am better than Adam. And this is what Fir'aun did, where he was very proud of the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him. And what Qarun did, where he was very proud of the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him. So remember that all power, sovereignty, control, authority, ownership belongs to who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exclusively. So do not despair, do not be afraid, do not feel proud, and present all of your needs before Allah and beg Him for whatever it is that you are in need of. Secondly, we should remember that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Malik, 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 then we should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do whatever that He wants. فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدٌ, He can do whatever that He wants. Because when everything is His, and when all power is His, then who can dare to question Him or criticize Him or object? Yani, if everything is His, He can do whatever that He wants. You know, it's amazing how if we own a thing or two, then if people criticize us that why did you do this, we say, well, it's mine and I can do whatever I want. Whereas if you think about it, if we have something, this is given to us as an amana, right? We're going to be questioned about how we earned our wealth and how we used it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He owns everything. He can do whatever He wants and no one can question Him because فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدٌ. And He can do whatever that He wants. So think about how He created the skies and the earth. Think about how He created Adam and his children. Think about how He saved Ibrahim alayhi salam from the fire. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do anything, right? We learned that إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. He is so powerful that when He decides to do something, all He has to do is just say be, and it is. It happens. It occurs. And look at how when people threw Ibrahim alayhi salam in the fire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is al-Malik and He can do whatever He wants, He changed the nature of that fire. He commanded that that fire be coolness and safety for Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then He can do whatever He wants, which means that our bodies are entirely in His control. Look at how when the people of Sabbath, when they cheated Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed their physical bodies, right? He completely deformed them. So we should remember that all authority is with Allah, which means that He can do whatever that He wants. Thirdly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Malik, 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 then we should remember that we should be His servants only, right? Meaning that we should worship only Him and we should obey only Him. This is why we are told that there is no obedience to the creation in disobedience to the Creator. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who owns me, and whatever I have is from Him, and He is the one who has absolute control and authority over me, that means that I should fear Him, and I should obey Him, and I should worship Him, right? The Prophet ﷺ is told in the Quran that, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ اتَّقِ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. That, O Prophet ﷺ, you should fear Allah, and you should not obey those who disbelieve and those who are hypocrites. Meaning, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who owns you, He is the one who has given you instruction, then you better obey only Him. And when that is the case with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then what do you think about us? That when Allah is our owner, then we must be obedient to Him. Fourthly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Malik, 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 then this means that we should be humble. we should realize our position, right? And that is that we are his servants, we are owned by him, so we should exhibit that humility. We should exhibit that servitude. And how do we exhibit that servitude? First of all, by not being arrogant, by obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by using, you know, such humility in our language or in the way that we call one another also. So we see that, for instance, if a person is called, you know, the King of Kings, then this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala detests. In fact, we learn that the most hated of people on the Day of Judgment, meaning a person who will be most worthy of Allah's wrath and anger and disapproval and dislike, is a person who has an arrogant name or an arrogant title like that. An arrogant title such as Malikul Amlak, the King of Kings, the owner of owners. Yani, such names and such titles do not befit us, right? Such descriptions do not befit us. And then part of this is that we should be humble, because on the Day of Judgment, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, you know, going to wrap up the skies, roll up the skies and the earths, and he is going to ask that, Ana al-Malik, I am the true king. Ayn al-Jabbarun, where are those who were mighty? Those who, Ayn al-Mutakabbirun, where are those who used to be arrogant? So this shows us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like arrogance for us, that we should think highly of ourselves and we should think that, oh, I own this and I own that and this is why I am better and I am great. No, such arrogance is something that does not befit us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not approve of it at all. And remember that people who are given authority and they abuse that authority, they abuse that power, or they show off before people, or they try to exert their power over people, belittling them, then such people will be humiliated on the Day of Judgment. So we see that oppressors, people who oppress others, they will be like ants on the Day of Judgment, right? People who commit oppression, they will be in darkness on the Day of Judgment. And people who are given authority on the earth by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they abuse that authority, they abuse that power, then we learn from ahadith about severe consequences for such people. So for example, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not even speak to such rulers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not purify them. He will not even look at them. And then we learn that such people will be deprived of the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Such people will be punished most severely and they will not enter Jannah. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the king, the true king, then that means we should be humble. And that means that we should not think too highly of ourselves. And that means that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us any kind of power or authority, we must not abuse it. And we must not become arrogant because of it. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Malik, 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 then what that means is that we should remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone will be Maliki Yawmiddin, the master, the owner, the sovereign of the Day of Judgment. So we should remember that meeting and we should fear that meeting with Allah Azza wa Jal. We should remember that we have to face him, and that our wealth will no longer be with us. Our power will no longer be with us. Because we learned that on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَهُمْ بَارِزُونَ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْهُمْ شَيْءٍ لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ. That on the Day of Judgment, all people will be apparent, you know, visible before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing at all will be hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it will be said, to whom does authority belong to on this day? And it will be said, it belongs only to Allah, the one, the irresistible, meaning the one who completely prevails. So we should remember this meeting, that we are from him, our return is to him, and we have to face him, and he is going to question us. He is going to ask us. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Malik, 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 this also means that we should respect and pay regard to you know, the commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. You see, every king or every, you know, person in authority establishes his authority. And part of that is that he declares certain things inviolable, right? Or he declares that, you know, this is mine and you're not allowed to overstep your bounds. Meaning every owner of authority sets some boundaries, right? Some boundaries that others have to respect. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also set certain boundaries. How? By making certain things lawful for us and other things unlawful for us. So what does that mean? It means that we should respect these boundaries and not overstep from what is lawful into what is unlawful. That we should not think that we can do whatever we want. That this is my truth. No, there's no your truth or my truth. The truth is only one truth. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares to be the truth. Because He is the owner of this universe. He is the one who owns us. And He is the one who decides what we can do and what we cannot do. He is the one who gives us rules to follow. We do not make up those rules. So we should remember that we are His servants and we have to do whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us, whether we like it or we don't like it, whether we find it easy or we find it difficult. And if we overstep our bounds, then we are basically interfering or basically fighting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to, you know, His power. And how dare we do that? And if anybody does that, they're basically being arrogant, and such people will be brought down and terribly humiliated on the Day of Judgment. So in summary, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the king, the owner, we should remember that we are His servants. We should remember that whatever we have is from Him. So what befits us is obedience and servitude. And we should remember that our return is to Him. So while we live this life, let us not forget Him. Now, how should we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with these names? We see that there are several du'as that we have been taught. For example, the du'a in the morning and the evening, in which we are to say, Allahumma fatir as-samawati wal-ard, alim al-ghaybi wa-shahada, la ilaha illa anta, رب كل شيء ومليكه أعوذ بك من شر نفسي ومن شر شيطاني وشركي. And this dua means that, O Allah, You are the creator of the skies and the earth. You are the knower of that which is unseen and that which is seen, meaning the invisible and the visible. There is no God worthy of worship except You. You are the Lord of everything, and also its Malik, meaning You are also its owner, meaning the owner of everything. Therefore, I seek refuge with You from the evil of my soul. You protect me from my own evil. And I also seek refuge in You from the evil of Shaitan and from his association, meaning that Shaitan tries to take a share of, you know, the worship that I dedicate to You, meaning protect me from the influence of Shaitan. And then we see that we are encouraged to say, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. You know, at different times after salah, in the morning, in the evening. So part of this dhikr is that lahul mulku wa lahul hamd. To Him belongs all sovereignty, and He is also worthy of all praise. And then we see that in the salah, when we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm Ad-Din, when we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Malik, the sovereign of the Day of Judgment, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds. He says that my servant has majadani abdi, my servant has glorified me, right? Or fawwada ilayya abdi, or that my servant has surrendered all of his affairs to me, meaning my servant knows that he needs me and that he depends on me. So when we say Maliki Yawmiddin, let us remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of everything, including the Day of Judgment. And on that day, sovereignty will be exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is only His judgment that will prevail. So right now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us some freedom. Let us not get fooled by that freedom and let us not abuse it. Because there will come a time when we will stand before Allah, we will meet Him, we will go to Him empty-handed, without any power or any glory of this world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. So let us remember that Allah is the only absolute King, and we are only His servants, and our return is to Him, Azza wa Jal. Then we will do the name At-Tayyib. The next name is At-Tayyib. And At-Tayyib is the one who is pure. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. That, O people, Allah Azza wa Jal is Tayyib, meaning He is good. And therefore, He only accepts that which is good. And this hadith is in Sahih Muslim. Now, this word, this name of Allah At-Tayyib appears only in hadith, meaning the name itself does not appear in the Quran. It only appears in the hadith, in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his words. And when we look at the word At-Tayyib, At-Tayyib is from At-Tayyib. And At-Tayyib means to be clean, to be pure, and also to be delightful. Okay? So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is At-Tayyib, what does that mean? It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfectly pure. So no one is purer than Him. It means that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfectly pure, then nothing but good and pure is attributed to Him. So this means that Allah is free of any evil. He is free of any oppression. And this means that He is perfectly pure in His being, in His names, in His attributes, in His words, in His actions. Meaning, in His that, in His being, He is perfectly pure. His names are perfectly pure. His attributes are perfectly pure. His words are perfectly pure. And His actions, His commands, are also perfectly pure. So nothing but good comes from Allah. He gives what is good. Biyadikal khayr, as we say, we are taught to say that in your hand is all good, meaning nothing but good comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which means that the only way that we can draw close to Allah is through that which is good. So this is why we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only accepts what is good. So we learn in the Quran that إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُهُ. That to Him ascends good speech and righteous work raises it. Meaning He accepts only good words and righteous actions. So remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is طَيِّب, which means that He Himself is good and His religion is also good. Which means that all the commands and the etiquettes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, then what are they? They're only good. So this religion is good, it is pure, and we see that even the tenets of faith, meaning our aqa'id, the parts of, or you could say the pillars of faith, right? The different aspects of faith, the things that we're supposed to believe in, all of them are also tayyib, they're good. Which is why the heart only finds peace and comfort in believing in such concepts. Meaning when you believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wahid, right? That He is one, meaning that there is only one God and He alone is worthy of worship. Then this makes sense. This is something that the heart, you know, finds comfort in, right? When you believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't just create us and leave us to fend for ourselves, rather He sent revelation, right? So we believe in the books, we believe in the prophets of Allah. Then again, this is something that the heart finds comfort with. When we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not just created us and left us, rather He has created angels who protect us, who guard us, who record our deeds, then again, this is something that is not only logical, but this is something that makes sense to the heart, right? And then when we believe in the Day of Judgment, then this belief is also something that the heart finds comfort in. Because when you witness so much injustice and so much you know, unfairness in the world and how people discriminate against others and belittle others based on superficial things, and how, you know, the consequences of such treatment are so far reaching, then you wonder that how could all of this be fair? There must be some consequence to this. So when you believe in the day of judgment, in the afterlife, then again, this is something that brings comfort to the heart. So we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is at-tayyib, and his religion, the religion that he has taught us that we should believe in, that is also tayyib. It is also good. And this is why we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made good things, at-tayyibat, lawful for the believers, right? وَرَزَقَكُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ He has provided you with good things. And أُحِلَّ لَكُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ Good things have been made permissible for you. When it comes to halal, when it comes to lawful food, it is described as halal and طَيِّبًا in the Qur'an, lawful and good things in the Qur'an. And then we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also given us, you know, a criteria, a standard, that what is good, right? Because if you ask people what is good, you know, people will have different definitions or different standards. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has given us that standard by revealing, you know, the Quran, by sending his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, by clarifying the religion for us so that we know what is good and what is not good. And so we're told in the Quran that لا يستوي الخبيث والطيب, that the impure and the pure, or the bad and the good, they're not the same. They're not equal. Meaning there's a huge difference between them. And what is that difference? The difference is that Allah accepts only what is good. And what is good? Good is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. And when it comes to khabith, that which is impure, that which is bad, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept it, no matter how much it may be. وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثِ Even if there's a lot of impure or bad, it doesn't make a difference. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like it, so he will not accept it. So then, what does this mean for us? This means that we should do what is good. We should spend what is good. We should eat what is good. We should earn what is good. We should say what is good. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only accepts what is good. So the believer, the believer, what does he do? First of all, we see that the believer believes in what is good. And that is the kalima of tawheed, which is described as al-kalimatu tayyibah, right? Which is described as the good word in the Quran. That the example of the good word is like that of a good tree, right? And this is the belief in La ilaha illallah, the belief that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah Azza wa Jal. So the kalimatu tawheed, it is at-tayyibah. And then this means that as believers, we should only say what is good, right? Meaning our speech should be good, it should be pure, it should be clean, and it should be you know, according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught, and according to the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us. So in the Quran we're told that الخبيثات للخبيثين والخبيثون للخبيثات والطيبات للطيبين والطيبون للطيبات. And one of the meanings of this ayah is that impure words are for impure people, meaning bad words are said by bad people. And it is only bad people who say bad words. And good words are for good people. And it is only good people who will say good words. So at-tayyibun means good people, and at-tayyibat are good words. This is one of the interpretations of this ayah. So when a believer believes in Allah at-tayyib, when a believer believes in al-kalimatu tayyib, then this means that the believer should only say what is tayyib. So we need to think about, you know, the language that we use, the kind of expressions that we use. And we should really check on ourselves that how much is it that, you know, we use good words in our speech. And remember that a major portion of good words is actually the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the words of dhikr, the words of, you know, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, all of these words are good words. So how frequently do we say them? And how frequently is it that our, you know, mouth is saying words which are impure or words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not approve of? And we learned that إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِيمُ الطَّيِّبُ, that good words ascend to Allah Azza wa Jal. Meaning when you say good words, the words of dhikr, the words of dua, you know, positive words, the words of praising Allah, the words of thanking Allah, the words of appreciating people, you know, with sincerity, then such words, they ascend to Allah. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts such words, He rewards the servant for such words, and He appreciates such words of the servant. So this means, so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is at-tayyib, we believe in what is at-tayyib, then our words should also be at-tayyib. And then this means that our actions should also be tayyib. Meaning, and this includes the actions such as the different deeds that we do throughout the day. And this also includes, you know, our earning, the way that we earn our income, the way that we spend our money. So we are told by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that indeed Allah is pure and He only accepts what is pure. And we are told in the Quran, "Anfiqu min tayyibati ma kasabtum," that spend out of the good things that you have earned. Meaning, even when you are giving in the way of Allah, when you're giving in charity, then you should give what is pure, meaning what is from lawful income and what is pure and good and delightful, meaning what you would like for yourself, not what is broken and what is rotten and what is, you know, useless. Rather, give what is useful, give what is good. And this is why we see that when Aisha radiallahu anha, when she would give charity, she would actually apply perfume on it. Why? Because she knew that she wasn't just giving this to the poor person. She was actually giving it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And in hadith, we learn that when a person gives in charity from lawful earning, even something that is equal to the size of a date fruit. So just imagine something so small, all right? And something that is not very valuable in monetary terms, but something small, if a person gives, and this is from his pure wealth, meaning lawful earning, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it in His right hand, we learn in the hadith. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes it to grow. And meaning that charity, it doesn't just remain its size. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases it, causing it to grow. Just as a person looks after, his foal, meaning a baby horse. Meaning with so much care and attention and love until that date fruit becomes the size of a mountain. So look at the beauty over here. When you do what is good with a good intention and in a way that is good, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is at-tayyib, He will only cause it to grow and increase and be beneficial for you, inshallah. And then we see that part of righteous or part of tayyib action is that a person performs those deeds which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. And of them is also fasting, right? So remember that a believer, you know, a believer's body is tayyib, right? His tongue is tayyib, his body is tayyib, and his actions are also tayyib, which is why we learn that when a person is fasting, and even when they have, you know, bad breath because of fasting, then this is أَطْيَبُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ رِيحِ الْمِسْكِ, then it is more purer and delightful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the fragrance of musk. Subhanallah. Meaning when you do something good, then all of you becomes good before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appreciate all of you. Subhanallah. So this shows us that we can only be truly good when we mold ourselves according to the standards that Allah Azza wa Jal has given, right? And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the believers that وَهُدُوا إِلَى الطَّيِّبِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ, that they were guided to the tayyib words. And this is the kalima of tawheed, the Quran, the dhikr of Allah. And then wahudu ila sirat al-hamid. They were guided to the path of the one who is praiseworthy, meaning the path of Allah the Exalted. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is at-tayyib, remember that He has also promised such those who believe a hayatan tayyiba, meaning a pure, a good, a delightful life. So in the Quran we learn, man amila salihan min dhakarin aw unsa wa huwa mu'minun falanuhyiyannahu hayatan tayyiba, that whoever does righteousness, whether they are male or female, the only condition is that they should be a believer. So when they do righteous action with belief, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them a hayatun tayyiba, a good life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, and we will give them their reward according to the best of what they used to do. And this good life means a good life in this world and also a good life in the next world. And that will be in Jannah, where the houses in Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes masakina tayyibatan, you know, houses that are tayyiba, which are good and excellent. So the people in paradise, they will be told, salamun alaykum tibatum, that peace be on you, you are good. Meaning you lived a good life, you believed in what is good, you said what is good, you did what is good, you believed in the Lord who is good. So this is why, peace be on you, فَدُخُلُوهَا خَالِدِينَ, so enter paradise to abide therein eternally. And this is why the righteous servants are told, الَّذِينَ تَتَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ الطَّيِّبِينَ, that when the angels come to take their souls and they are طَيِّبِينَ, meaning their bodies are good, their souls are righteous, then the angels at that time of death also, you know, say salam to such a person. So we learn that such a person is told, أُخْرُجِي أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الطَّيِّبَةِ, that come out, O good and pure soul. كَانَتْ فِي الْجَسَدِ الطَّيِّبِ, which used to inhabit a good body. So given the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is الطَّيِّب, this is something that should really make us reflect on ourselves. That how clean is my body? How clean and pure is my faith? How clean is my tongue? And how clean are my actions? Because the way I live right now is the way how I will be treated later. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all such that we are good in His eyes, right? We are good before Him. Because, you know, there are people who are called good by others, but it's not necessary that they're good in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the one who is good and pure is truly the one who is good and pure in the sight of Allah, the Exalted. The next name, inshallah, that we will be doing is the name of Allah, Al-Quddus. And Al-Quddus means the one who is perfectly pure, Azza wa Jal. And it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is Al-Quddus. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ الْمَلِكِ الْقُدُّوسِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ, that whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth is exalting Allah. Allah who is the sovereign, al-malik, al-quddus, who is the perfectly pure, al-aziz, who is the exalted in might, al-hakim, the one who is ever wise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Quddus. And we see that this name occurs in two places in the Quran. Once in Surah Al-Jumu'ah and the other in Surah Al-Hashr, where several names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are mentioned. Now, the name Al-Quddus, this is from the word, from the root Qaf Dal Sin, and Qadasa basically means to go far away. Okay, to go far away. And At-Taqdis, we see Taqdis is to be far removed, okay? To be far removed from what? From every impurity, every imperfection, and everything that is derogatory, okay? Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He is Al-Quddus, it means that He is far removed and He is free from every impurity, every imperfection, and everything that is derogatory. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is who? He is perfectly pure. And when you think about this root, you know, Qaddasa or Taqdis, think about, you know, Ruhul Qudus. Angel Jibreel is called Ruhul Qudus, meaning the pure spirit, right? Think about Baytul Maqdis or Al-Ardul Muqaddasa, meaning the land which is pure and holy. And this is the reason why Quds also means to be blessed. All right. It also means to be blessed. So some scholars, Mujahid and Qatada, both of them said that Al-Quddus means Mubarak. Okay. Quddus means Mubarak, meaning the one who is blessed. So when you're thinking about the name Al-Quddus, think about two things. All right. First of all, perfectly pure. And secondly, blessed. Okay. Meaning Mubarak, blessed. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Quddus, what does that mean? It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is transcendent, meaning He is far above any deficiency, right? Any dependency, and He is free from all imperfections. What does that mean? This means that first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have any partner or any equal, okay? Because when you have someone who resembles you, then you lose your glory, right? We see that, you know, for example, if you have a competition between yourself and your sibling, for example, in regards to anything, then the moment, you know, they catch up with you, then you lose your glory and your authority. Having someone similar to you means that you're not special. There's nothing special about you. And this is the reality of the creation. Right? That we as creation are such that there is nothing really that is unique about us. If we have knowledge, there are people who have more knowledge than us, right? If we're able to speak clearly, well, there are so many other people who are able to speak clearly, in fact, better than us. If we can draw art, you know, beautiful art, then there is great artists out there. So we as creation are imperfect, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He, the only creator, He is Al-Quddus, meaning that He is above any deficiency, which means that He has no partner, He has no equal, and it means that He doesn't suffer from any deficiency, right? Any deficiency, like, for example, any weakness of, you know, needing rest, needing sleep, or needing praise, or needing, you know, someone to assist or someone to help. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from any dependency, right? And He is free from all imperfections. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And when He is Al-Quddus, it means that He is only perfect. So any imperfection that you could ever imagine, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far from that. And a lot of times this happens that, you know, shaitan brings certain doubts about Allah. So for example, a person wonders, why did God do this? No, this is a bad thought that a person is entertaining about Allah. Any imperfection that you can think of for Allah, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above that. He is above that. He is far removed from that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only perfect. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Quddus, it means that He is the possessor of all blessings, meaning all barakah, all good things come from Allah. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Quddus, what is it that we should do? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Quddus, what is it that we should do? First of all, this means that we should think only good of Allah. We should correct our thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should think only that which is good about Allah. And when shaitan casts doubts, right? Or when people say inappropriate, unbefitting things about Allah, say A'udhu Billah. And save yourself, you know, move away from such conversations. Protect yourself from thinking bad about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is only perfect, right? Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Quddus, it means that we should glorify Him. We should praise Him. As the angel said, that وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ, right? That we glorify you and we sanctify you. Meaning that we celebrate your praises, right? And this is something that we should also do. So this is why we're told in the Quran, سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى, right? That glorify the name of your Lord because he is the highest. And this is something that we are encouraged to do over and over again. So we see that the Prophet ﷺ, in his ruku' and in his sujood, he would say, سُبُّوحٌ قُدُّوسٌ رَبُّ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْرُوحِ. So for example, when you're in ruku', you can say, سُبْحَانَ رَبِّي الْعَظِيمِ, سُبْحَانَ رَبِّي الْعَظِيمِ, سُبْحَانَ رَبِّي الْعَظِيمِ. And then you say, سُبُّوحٌ قُدُّوسٌ رَبُّ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْرُوحِ. What does this mean? This means, سُبُّوح, O Allah, you are perfect. Quddus, you are perfectly pure. Rabbul Malaika, you are the Lord of the angels, والروح, and also the Lord of الروح, meaning Angel Jibreel. Rabbul Malaika والروح. So this can be said in sujood, it can also be said in sajda. So, and our tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our glorification of Allah should not just be limited to salah, right? It means that we should glorify and praise Allah throughout our lives, throughout the day, throughout the night. And we see that in the ayah that is quoted over here at the beginning, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, right? That everything in the heavens and the earth is glorifying and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is exalting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, he is worthy of that exaltation because he is perfectly pure. So if we glorify and praise Allah, then that is only beneficial for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need that. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would say Subuhan Qudusun Rabbul Malaikati Warruh in his ruku' and in his sajda. And then we also learn that after the witr prayer, okay, meaning after the witr prayer, when he would say the salam, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say Subhan al Malik al Quddus, Subhan al Malik al Quddus, Subhan al Malik al Quddus. Okay, meaning, glory be to who? Al-Malik, the true king, Al-Quddus, the perfectly pure. And he would say this three times. And the last time that he would say, meaning the third time, he would elongate, all right? Meaning Al-Quddus. So this is how we should also conclude our night prayer, that we should say Subhan al-Malik al-Quddus three times after the witr prayer. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfectly pure, he is Al-Quddus, then we should glorify him. And then finally, this also means that we should purify ourselves for him. You know, when the angel said that وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ, one of the interpretations of that is that we purify ourselves for you. Meaning, in our hearts, we only think of absolute glory for you, Azza wa Jal. So we are, you know, truly impressed by you. And this is something that we need to ask ourselves about, that, you know, for example, when we think about certain individuals who are very rich and perhaps very powerful, we hear their name and we're like, you know, something happens in the heart. You know, some feeling comes in the heart, that feeling of awe, that, oh, wow, you know, so-and-so person, so wealthy, right? So-and-so person, so powerful. We have that feeling of awe, but we should have that feeling most of all for who? For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he is perfectly pure, and that means that we should purify ourselves for him. We should dedicate ourselves for him. Our feelings of love, our feelings of fear, our feelings of awe should be exclusively, meaning at the greatest degree, they should be exclusively for who? They should be exclusively dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he alone is Al-Quddus. Then the next name is As-Salam. As-Salam means the perfectly sound. And As-Salam is, of course, one of the names of Allah, which is, of course, mentioned in the Quran. We learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْمَلِكُ Al-Quddus As-Salam, that he is Allah other than whom there is no deity. He is Al-Malik, the Sovereign. He is Al-Quddus, the Pure. And He is As-Salam. He is the Perfection. The Perfection. So remember that the name of Allah, As-Salam, it occurs only once in the Quran. But when it comes to the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we see this name appearing in many du'as and in many contexts. And the name of Allah, As-Salam, it means the one who is perfectly sound, meaning the one who is free from any blemish. And As-Salam also means the one who makes what is sound. Basically, if you think about the word salam, salamah means, to be safe and to be perfect, okay? Meaning to be free of any fault, okay? To be free of any deficiency. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is As-Salam, it means that He does not suffer the way the creation suffers. Or no matter what people try to do, they can never ever harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is perfectly sound in and of Himself. No one can harm Him. All right. And he is free of any blemish and free of any imperfection. When it comes to the creation, what is our reality? Our reality is that we are not perfectly sound, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he creates people, for example, you know, with healthy bodies, for instance. And then what happens? Over time, we abuse our bodies so much that we neglect our bodies so much that we are no longer sound, right? And no matter how much a person, you know, takes care of their body, for example, our reality is that our body will only decline, right? Because we are not perfectly sound. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfectly sound. And then when we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is As-Salam, it means that He is the one who makes what is sound. So for example, when it comes to the creation of the skies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَنِ مِن تَفَاوُتْ. You do not see in what Allah has created any discrepancy. Meaning, when for example, when you go in the most fanciest of places also, if you were to pay attention to, the building, for instance, you will find some deficiencies, you will find some problems, right? You will notice that, you know, for example, a certain image or a certain picture that is hanging on the wall is not straight. It is slightly crooked, right? Or you will notice that, for example, there is a gap which shouldn't be there, right? Or that something is dirty, or that something is just really awkward, or that something is just really off. The design is just strange. It is weird. But when you look up at the sky, right, then especially in Surah Al-Mulk, the sky is mentioned that, you look at it again and again, and you will not find any imperfection in there. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates something, He creates it with itqan, right? With perfection, with soundness. And He is capable of doing that. We, on the other hand, are not capable of doing that. No matter what we make, it is imperfect, right? So for example, when it comes to even, technology, every now and then there needs to be an update, right? You need to update the softwares, or you need to download the latest version. Why? Because certain bugs are being fixed, or certain weaknesses that were, found later on, they have now been fixed. So this is the reality of our work. Our work is not perfectly sound. Even when it comes to the best of our efforts, no matter how much time we dedicate, no matter how much effort we dedicate, there's always some loopholes, right? There's always some weaknesses. We think that we have taken care of them, but clearly we haven't. And, we see people taking advantage of that, right? We see people misusing or taking advantage of the weaknesses that are within others, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who is As-Salam. We see that when it comes to the sun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَشَّمْسُ يَنْبَغِي لَهَا أَن تُدْرِكَ الْقَمَرِ ولا الليل السابق النهار وكل في فلك يسبحون. When you look up at the sky, he says that the sun, it doesn't befit it that it overtakes the moon, meaning the sun remains on its course, the moon remains on its course, the night will not precede the day. No, each and every celestial body, each and every function, it is doing its work. And why is there so much perfection and so much security, at least up in the skies? Why? Because everything is following the law and order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the earth where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, only us, some freedom, look at the chaos that we're causing. Look at the injustice that we are perpetuating on a daily basis. So really, it reminds us of the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He alone is As-Salam. Then remember that As-Salam also means the one who is safe. So the difference is that sound meaning that he is free from any blemish, and he is perfectly safe, meaning that no one can harm him. And this also means that he is the bestower of safety, that he is the bestower of safety. So when he is perfectly safe, it means that no matter how much people deny and how much people reject, and how much people oppress, and how much people disobey, and how much people try to avoid the commands of Allah, no matter what they do, can they ever harm Allah? No, they cannot. They cannot. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is As-Salam, right? And He is the bestower of safety. What does that mean? That no one is safe without the safety that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. So if we want safety, then we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for salam. And this is why we're taught this beautiful dua, which we should say after salah, that Allahumma anta salam, wa minka salam, tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. That, O Allah, You are as-salam, and from You is as-salam, and You are blessed, O One of magnificence and generosity. Right? Meaning, O Allah, You alone are perfectly sound, perfectly safe. And if there is any safety, that is also from You. You are blessed. You are perfect. You are the source of goodness. You are honorable and You are generous. Right? So this is a beautiful dua that we have been taught. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-salam, what does that mean for us? This means that first of all, we should work on being safe with Allah. Okay? That means that when there is no safety except the safety that is from Allah, then we should make sure that we are good with Allah, that we are worthy of that safety with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that we should not do or say what will bring about the wrath and the punishment of Allah. Remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't like to punish, in the sense that he doesn't benefit from punishing his servants, right? It doesn't make a difference to him. Which is why we're told in the Quran, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ, that what would Allah do with punishing you? Meaning he is al-ghani, he is above the need to punish you, right? And لَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not approve, He does not like disbelief or ingratitude for His servants, right? So when we obey Allah, and when we worship Allah, and when we are grateful to Allah, then we are basically we are basically ensuring that we are safe with Allah. And when we disobey Allah, then we are basically taking ourselves out of the security and the safety that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides. So basically, the ball is in our court. It is completely up to us. Do we want to be safe with Allah or not? And there is no one who can be safe except with Allah the Exalted. So let us not say or do anything big or small that will make us worthy of Allah's anger, that will make us worthy of Allah's punishment. And you know, sometimes we belittle certain things that, oh, what's the big deal, right? This is harmless. But we don't know. Because of that one word, because of that one action, we could earn the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how sad that would be, that we brought that upon ourselves, right? Aisha radiallahu anha, once she gestured, you know, with her hand as to how someone was short, okay? Meaning she basically mocked at someone's physical appearance, that how, you know, she's such a shorty, okay? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you have said something which, if it were to be put in the water would turn bitter, meaning a large quantity of water would become bitter. It would become poisonous. Subhanallah. And we need to think about ourselves, that when we use, you know, racial slurs, or when we use language that is harsh, when we, you know, make fun of people based on their physical appearance, or based on, you know, a genuine mistake that they have made, an error in speech, for example, or, you know, a difference in their accent, then these kind of words are taking us away from the safety of Allah. So the first and foremost thing that we need to pay attention to is we are safe only with Allah. So let us not bring us out of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's safety. Let us remain safe with Allah. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-salam, then this means that we should also be a source of salam for those who are around us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that al-Muslim, the Muslim, is the one from whose tongue and hands other Muslims are safe. Subhanallah. And we think that, you know, if we're supposed to be a source of, you know, safety for others, then this means that, you know, we got to do something really, really important and really, really huge, like, you know, become the prime minister of the country and then, you know, you set such laws and rules that will ensure that people are safe. You know, we dream big, and that's good, excellent, mashallah. But remember that this starts from small and little things, okay? Which means that we need to pay attention to how we are using our hands and how we are using our tongues. The Muslim is the one from whose hands and tongue other Muslims are safe. What does that mean? That don't even write with your hand what will offend and hurt others. And subhanAllah, in this day and age, especially in these days, when our physical, you know, interaction with others is limited, our interaction with people is always virtual now, most of the time at least, then, you know, we really need to pay attention to what kind of comments we are writing, what kind of text messages we are sharing, right? What kind of conversations we are having, what kind of emojis, you know, we are exchanging with one another, how we are, you know, scribbling or not scribbling on screens. Yani, every little thing matters, because one word could be enough to hurt someone's feelings, right? One emoji could be enough to destroy someone's confidence. Really, it can be. And we think that it's not going to make much of a difference. It makes a huge difference. So, al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisani wa yadihi. This is important, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-salam, then this means that we should also be a source of salam for others. And then, remember that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-salam, then this means that we should also spread the greeting of salam. Okay, we should spread the greeting of salam. What does that mean? That we should say as-salamu alaykum to one another. There's different ways of greeting one another. Hey, yo, what's up? You know, different ways. And okay, nice, fine, that's what you're used to. But out of all the different ways that you could greet someone, what is the most beneficial way? That you say assalamu alaikum. What does that mean, assalamu alaikum? That may peace be on you, right? Meaning, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you safety. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you security. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep you safe. So, assalamu alaikum. And it also means that inshallah, you'll be safe from me. I'm not here to harm you. I'm not here to bother you. But subhanallah, we start with assalamu alaikum. And then we go on berating people. Astaghfirullah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you will not enter Jannah until you believe. And you will not truly believe until you actually love one another. You will not truly believe until you love one another. Shall I not tell you something which when you will do it, you will love one another? Afshu salama baynakum. Spread the salam amongst yourself. Which means that say salam to those you know and also say salam to those you do not know. Say salam to people who are from your race and also people who are not from your race. Right? Don't just hang out with people who only look like you, who only speak your language. No, acknowledge every Muslim. Right? Give importance to every Muslim. Love every Muslim. Because you cannot truly believe until you love one another. And another hadith, we learned that salam is from the names of Allah. Therefore, spread it amongst yourselves. Meaning, say assalamu alaikum to one another. And then remember that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is assalam, He calls to Darus Salam. He calls us to the home of salam, the home of safety and security. And what does that mean? That means that Jannah is Darus Salam, meaning it is Darullah. It is the home of Allah. And this is a way of honoring Jannah, right? This is similar to how the Kaaba is Baytullah, right? It is the house of Allah. Why is it called the house of Allah? Because it is the house which we face when we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So Darus Salam is the home where a person will be safe and sound because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as-salam, has admitted them into that house. So Jannah is Darus Salam. It is the house of, it is the home of Allah, right? And it is Darus Salam because it is the only home where you can be truly safe and secure. In this world, there is no permanent safety and security. There is no permanent safety and security. SubhanAllah, one virus has showed us how weak we are. That the systems, you know, the places, the different things that we relied upon, that we felt so secure in, everything has been turned upside down. Everything seems unreliable now. Right? So the only place of security and safety is Jannah. It is Darus Salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called us to that. So we should strive to get there. That should be our ultimate goal. And also finally, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is As-Salam, then that means that we should also make our hearts Salim or Salim, meaning sound. Why? Because on the Day of Judgment, wealth and children are not going to benefit a person except the one who comes to Allah biqalbin salim, with a heart that is sound. And what is a heart that is sound? It is a heart that has survived, right? Meaning it has survived this world. How? By holding on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by purifying itself, meaning in the heart is pure tawheed, pure belief in Allah, greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And qalbin salim is a heart that has surrendered to Allah, a heart that is safe with Allah, a heart that has made peace with the decrees and the commands of Allah, a heart that has made peace with the servants of Allah. So this is something that we need to pay attention to, that how at peace are we with the commands and the decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because what happens is that, life is difficult. And the state of the heart changes. There are things that you enjoy doing right now, and then you might not enjoy them tomorrow or day after. But a heart that is sound, salim, is the one who has surrendered to Allah, right? Which means that even if you don't enjoy certain things anymore, because Allah as-salam has commanded you to do it, you will still do it because you know that that is the only way of being safe. That is the only way of being secure. Because the things that we depend on for safety and security, right? Whether it is our wealth or our family, right? Or even police officers, subhanAllah. Yani, what does the world show us every day in different ways that see the creation for what it truly is? It is imperfect. And recognize the perfection of the Creator, As-Salam. So make Him your ultimate goal and make sure that you are at peace with Him, that you are surrendered to Him, because only then can you be truly safe. And the next name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will do is Al-Mu'min. And Al-Mu'min is similar to the name As-Salam. And this is also mentioned in the Quran. We learn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْمَلِكُ الْقُدُّوسُ السَّلَامُ الْمُؤْمِنُ. This is mentioned in Surah Al-Hashr, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He is Allah, besides whom there is no deity. He is the sovereign, He is the pure, He is the perfection. Al-Mu'min, He is the bestower of faith. And the name of Allah, Al-Mu'min, occurs only once in the Quran, and it means the bestower of security. Okay, Al-Mu'min meaning the bestower of aman, and aman means security. And Al-Mu'min also means the one who confirms or the one who fulfills his promises, Azza wa Jal. So remember that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Mu'min, remember that Al-Mu'min is from aman. Right, aman means security, right? So this means that first of all, the creation is safe from the oppression of the Creator. Meaning, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala does not oppress, right? Allah Subhanahu wa Taala does not oppress. So people are safe from His oppression. The creation is safe from His oppression because He does not oppress, and then. When he is al-mu'min, it means that those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be safe from his punishment, from his wrath, from his disapproval, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-mu'min, which means that there is no security except with who? With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now al-mu'min also means the one who believes, right? So al-mu'min is the one who confirms the believers when they say that they believe. We learn in the Quran that the hypocrites, when they say we believe in Allah in the last day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. They're not truly believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept their claim of faith. But those who truly believe with their heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the state of the heart, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirms their belief. He accepts their belief. So at the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, we learn, آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. That the messenger has believed in whatever that was revealed to him from his Lord, and the believers also. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is affirming, He is confirming, He is accepting the faith, the iman of those who believe. Right? And then we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He honors that further, how by confirming that faith Himself. How in the Quran we learn, شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself bears witness, He testifies that there is no God worthy of worship except for Him. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need to say that. The truth is the truth. But when He says that, He is only further emphasizing and confirming the faith of the believers, that they are true in what they believe in. And this is absolute truth. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also al-mu'min because He fulfills His promises. How? That we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made certain promises with those who believe, right? That He will accept their deeds, He will reward them generously, that He will respond to their supplication, that He will assist them and He will help them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not abandon His slaves. He confirms the hopes of His slaves. He does not disappoint them, right? He does not put them in despair. In fact, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I am as my servant thinks I am, which means that we should always think positive about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when a believer has, you know, a certain hope of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not disappoint him. In a hadith, we learned that when a servant, you know, raises his hands before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah feels shy to return them empty-handed. Right? Zakariya alayhi salam, when he made dua, he said, وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيَّ, that, oh my Lord, I have never been, deprived in calling upon you. I have never suffered in calling upon you, which is why I am calling upon you again and again, and now as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not disappoint him, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfilled his wishes for him. So when Allah is al-mu'min, what does that mean? He gives security, he gives protection, he confirms the believers, he fulfills his promises, he fulfills the hopes of the believers. So what does that mean for us? That means that we should strive to be safe with Allah. When we are in fear, it means that we should call upon Allah to grant us security. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-mu'min, this means that we should purify our faith for Him so that He will accept it. We should purify our deeds for Him. We should make our actions sincere for Him. It means that we should have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? We learn in the Quran, أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِ بِرَبِّكَ أَنَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. Is it not sufficient that your Lord is a witness over everything? So trust Him. Have faith in Him. Do not despair. And then this also means when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-mu'min, that we should believe in His promises as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promises are not empty, right? When people make promises, sometimes, you know, they're unable to fulfill them. So we should believe in the promises of Allah the Exalted, and we should seek security with Him, and we should strive to be safe with Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us security in this life and in the next. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardon us for all our shortcomings and our errors. Inshallah, we'll conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.